Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm David Muir. And is it just me, or is it kind of handsome in here? I had hoped the takeaway of the debate I moderated would be my striking good looks, but unfortunately, it was whether or not I was biased towards the Democrats. Which, duh.
Well, good to admit it. Saturday Night Live, I finally got around to watching the opening episode of the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, and okay, a lot of thoughts about this. I'll take your comments as well, 437-1620. One thought is they have some really, really good casting. Like, for the political season, it might not last past the election when some people may become less relevant than others. But at least for now, the casting is fantastic. Maya Rudolph, who I think had been doing Kamala Harris before, is perfect as Kamala Harris.
Well, your fun aunt has returned. The fun has been rebooted. Too fun, too furious. I am so happy to be campaigning in whatever swing state I'm in, which I will just refer to as Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Because I am going to protect your Georgia.
The lines are okay, but her, and it's a lot of times with SNL and impressionists, it's not just the vocal, but it's the visual. And she's got the visuals down. I know you can't see them on the radio, but still, it's pretty impressive.
My campaign is like the Sabrina Carpenter song, Espresso. The lyrics are vague, but the vibe slaps. And sure, I like to laugh. I do. If you start talking nonsense to me, I'm going to hit you with one of these.
Okay. Did you watch any of this on Saturday, John? Did you see the Saturday Night Live open?
I watched like maybe 7 minutes of it yesterday.
You've watched the beginning.
Yes, but you, like you said, she's got Kamala
She has
down.
Got it down. And honestly, it's when you're watching it, listening to it, her vocal impression isn't quite as good as I thought it was when I was watching it. But when I was watching, I'm like, God, if I close my ears, you know, or if I close my eyes, I'd be able to. And then, of course, they got Jim Gaffigan to come on to play Tim Walz, who is perfect as Tim Walz.
I got that BDE, Big Dad Energy. See what I did there? You get it?
I got it. I didn't want it, but I got it.
You know, Trump and Vance are weird, all right? And they want the government to control what you do in your bedroom and what books you read. You know, in Minnesota, we have a saying, mind your damn business.
Not particularly funny, but a good impression.
When Kamala Harris called me and asked me to be her vice president, I said, yeah. This is personal for me. I love this country. And as a former teacher, I need the money. This suit is from Costco. It's a Kirkland brand. They make great dog food.
And I thought actually that some of the writing, the open is often very disappointing to me. And I thought some of the writing was actually pretty good. It's a little bit pent up over the summer, I imagine. But they had good material to work with. Back to Kamala Harris after the Doug Emhoff intro, which that was also, he was really funny.
Oh my goodness. How much do I love that man. We share a beautiful life in a beautiful home. And if you try to enter my home, I will shoot you.
The line that, of course, she said, right?
From New York and California, please close your ears. I have a gun. A cool one. All right, come on back, New York and California. Now, let's get crazy, sexy, cool, and play some TLC.
So the premise of the sketch was dueling events, press conferences, right? They went from Kamala Harris and they went over to Trump. And, of course, the guy that they've got playing Trump is phenomenal. He's very good at it. I will warn you, the joke I'm about to play has gotten some, let's just say criticism. Okay. So they show Trump and they show him behind a screen, right behind a plexiglass or a bulletproof glass, you know, kind of screen to keep him safe during the rally. And he's complaining about people leaving.
Where the hell is everyone going? Where are you going? I see you trying to leave, but the doors are locked. Come on back. We're having fun. We love my rallies, except when someone does a bing bong, bing bing bing, right at me.
So, assassination jokes now are apparently the thing at SNL. There were several during the weekend update. The Trump campaign, you know, pushed back and said, "Oh, that stuff's funny now." Basically, look, it's a satire show. The problem with SNL is not that it's making fun of the assassination. I think people make jokes about the assassination. I think that's what happens when events happen. People, dark humor about dark things. The problem with SNL is not that it makes jokes. It's that it makes jokes in such a one-sided way that it's so uncharitable towards Republicans and Trump and so charitable towards Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. That's the real issue because the Trump jokes are funny.
You know, that happened because of the rhetoric of the radical left. They say that me blaming the Democrats for inciting violence is the pot calling the kettle black. But frankly, I didn't know the kettle was black until very recently. I thought the kettle was Indian. But then he decided to turn black. I miss Joe Biden. Oh, Joe. We miss Joe Biden, folks. What we wouldn't give to have him stand next to me and be old. We had this in the bag, but then they did a switcheroo and they swapped out Biden with Kamala. And now everything is chaos. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
I'm so frequently disappointed by SNL that I have to cherish it the one time when they're actually going to be good at the open. Oh, and the best part is yet to come. Okay, the best part is yet to come if you didn't watch it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I'm seeing I-10 and I-110 flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 going to and from Pace is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the open and then, you know, updates its own separate thing. I'll probably treat that separately. But the open, like I said, I thought was very, very, generally very funny. I mean, not all of it, but enough of it, especially I thought it was Indian. Pretty good. So back to Kamala. As again, they're doing the kind of the back and forth screen between the, you know, the Trump rally and the Kamala rally. And there was kind of a funny part where J.D. Vance comes on stage and they took the bulletproof screen away like it walked away with President Trump. I mean, that's it was funny to me anyway. So Kamala Harris again with Maya Rudolph playing.
Oh, man, that felt good. And Donald doesn't think I'm black. Okay, listen up, everyone. We couldn't have gotten here without one man, and his name is Joe Biden. Get on out here, Joe Biden.
Did you watch through to when Dana Carvey as Joe Biden? Perfect. And it all started with the walking, slow, stumbling kind of old man-ish that he's displayed recently coming on stage. I mean, this is now, how many presents has Dana Carvey been perfect about? I mean, it's amazing, really. But he comes on, and so you can critique SNL for being, you know, biased against Trump and Vance and for Harris. Like, it's kind of loving poking humor at them, and it's hating poking humor at the others. And that's fair, okay? But you got to give him credit for making fun of Joe Biden viciously. And what I think some people who are, you know, love Joe Biden would think is unfair, you know, it's mean against an elderly person. It's, you know, there's all kinds of reasons that you could object to their portrayal of Joe Biden. I thought it was hilarious.
Folks, that's right. A lot of people forget I'm president, including me. But guess what? And by the way. I think I did a pretty good job. I passed more bills than any president in history. But folks, we still got work to do, no joke. I'm being serious right now, come on. And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is,
the rich don't pay their fair share.
They gotta pay their fair better share. We got to build back better. Build back the better bar the best. Build back the better. Can't believe it's not butter.
Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you so much.
If you see, if you haven't watched or listened to enough Joe Biden speeches to know that those are all of his favorite phrases, transitions, so that he can hide people not knowing how he's mentally declined. And also, because he is, and he forgets his place so much that he's got to say these silly things. And Carvey was perfect.
I just want to say thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you for putting country first and for handing over the reins.
I didn't want to. They made me. And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is, no joke, this is serious right now. It's serious. Anyway, in conclusion, me and Vice President Harris are the same.
Oh, okay, ha ha, great stuff. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, goodbye, Joe.
And one last one, because the Biden, I almost don't just want to quit on that, because Dana Carvey was perfect. Now, there's no cost to making fun of Biden now because he's out, right? Making fun of Kamala Harris carries consequences because you're making her look bad and she's running for the office. So there's still a pretty hefty imbalance and unfairness, but at least you've got to give him credit for savagely mocking Joe Biden, okay? If they're going to be savage, you got to be equal in all directions, right? Kamala Harris, final comments.
Now listen, all right? We gotta stay focused, okay? And let me tell you something. If we win together, we can end the drama-la. End the trauma-la. And go relax in our pajamas.
So I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that this season might be okay, because at least if Dana Carvey comes back and if Jim Gaffigan comes back, oh, man, it could be very entertaining. 621 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or even selling, we talk about Frontier as a great place to buy a good quality used car. We don't as much talk about it as a great place to sell, but, man, they always need inventory. You know, they always need good quality cars. I mean, where do you think they get them? They don't just make them. You know, they go to auctions and they get them off of fleet sales. And then individuals who come in with a car that's a year or two or three old and you're wanting to buy something brand new, and you give this to Frontier and you say, well, okay, it's better than obviously trying to sell it on Facebook Marketplace and meet up with somebody and go through all the rigmarole of that. So they can buy it from you in about 15 minutes. Or if you want to get a better price, they can consignment sell it for you. And then it takes maybe a little bit longer, but you might get a better price for it. No charge for that, by the way. They're just, you know, glad to have the inventory. So if you've got a good quality used vehicle, the kind we always talk about buying at Frontier, you can also sell it to Frontier. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is tomorrow at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you find out you're pregnant, everything changes. Every choice now impacts a child's future. Research has proven that smoking weed while pregnant can hurt babies. Cannabis passes through the placenta, leading to brain development issues, anxiety, poor academic performance, and physical problems at birth. Any use of THC while breastfeeding is also dangerous for babies. Your child or grandchild's future starts now. Don't put it at risk. Say no to marijuana while pregnant. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You want to know what comes between me and my Calvins? Nothing.
I don't want to get you too worked up about this just yet, but do you like prosciutto? John, are you a prosciutto consumer? Do you enjoy the prosciutto, the cured, salty, super yummiest ham ever made in the whole entire universe? No, you don't care.
I don't.
So you're not my people. You don't eat ham?
Yeah.
Why?
It goes back to childhood.
Okay, I don't want to ask too many questions here, but all right. Were you raised on a farm and that's the issue for you?
No, I'm a city boy.
Okay, all right. Well, all right. Let's just traffic on the fires. We'll come back to this because I feel like I should probe, but I don't want to, probe too much. what's going on with the roads?
No accidents to let you know about right now. Everything's flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. Seeing some minor delays at 9 Mile and Highway 29 intersection. Going southbound there, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay, I gotta know now, though, did you own a pet pig?
No.
Were you a star in Charlotte's Web at some point?
Not yet, but I ate a whole bunch of ham as a kid, and I really just don't have the taste for it.
So you tequila'd yourself as a kid on ham? A lot of people don't drink tequila because they got drunk one time, threw up a bunch, and now they never drink tequila again. Okay. You did that with ham.
Yes.
Well, that's just such a weird thing. I'm so sorry. I just never met anybody who won't eat bacon.
I love bacon.
Okay, so it's just
do
ham.
That.
Okay,
yes,
so just still some luxury in your life. Okay, yes. Fair enough. So the story about prosciutto, back to the point, is that prosciutto may be becoming scarce because there's a virus running around the pig populations in Italy where prosciutto comes from, and they're killing, I want to get you the right number on this, they have killed 20 million, excuse me. They're so far down about 500 million euros worth of product. That's about $500 million, and they have had to kill off tens of thousands of swine, 120,000 pigs so far since swine fever appeared in January.
Wow.
Yeah, because it spreads and they don't, some of the various, it comes from the wild hogs and then it gets into the regular hogs. It doesn't transmit to humans. But part of the problem is that they can't go hunting the wild hogs, which is one theory, because then that disperses them and drives them more at risk of the regular herds. So, yeah, this is a real problem for the outbreak of this, swine fever or whatever, which, again, doesn't go to humans, but it does decimate the population. They're trying to control it, and they've already had to kill off so many. So the output for you means that the limited availability of fresh pork legs is generating strong production limitations, according to a statement by Parma Prosciutto Consortium. They produce the prosciutto, along with the certificate of origin and authenticity or whatever. So if you, I'm not telling you to go stock up now because it doesn't last all that long anyway, but we may be facing a prosciutto shortage. Dang it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I don't know how I could work with this terrible news looming. President Joe Biden will be visiting Georgia today to survey hurricane damage. Officials say they're expecting only a limited impact on the drug supply chain from this week's port strike. And here's an interesting one. A Japanese airport had to be shut down yesterday after the explosion of a World War II era U.S. bomb that apparently was buried below the surface. It created a crater 23 feet wide, just over 3 feet deep. Almost 90 flights had to be canceled while crews worked to repair the damage. I guess the good news, no injuries were reported.
Well, you worked in this field. I mean, you're as close to that field as anybody with doing EOD work, right, when you were in the military.
Right,
but,
yeah.
I mean, a bomb can go off later.
Absolutely it can.
80 years later.
There is no statute of limitations when it comes to bombs.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. And, you know, they always find these munitions, these unexploded munitions.
We actually, when I was on a convoy one time, we went over, and this was in 2007, our vehicle got hit, or one of the vehicles in our convoy, it wasn't specifically mine, but it got hit by a landmine that had been placed on that road during the initial Gulf War in 1990.
Oh, God. Wow, so it was 17 years old.
Yeah,
at that
absolutely,
point.
Yeah.
But again,
and it had been buried
munitions.
And driven over for all those years.
And just waiting
and
for
one
you guys.
Day, boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank God you're still here, obviously. But yeah, later danger from those things. By the way, there's a website I was looking at yesterday. You can simulate meteor hits on the U.S. by size and speed of the meteor, and it'll show you how big the crater was at different geographies. It's a weird app. It's a really weird app.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Biden will visit Florida and Georgia today, following a day in the Carolinas where he tried to reassure hurricane victims that the federal government will help them rebuild.
In a moment like this, we put politics aside. At least we should put it all aside. We have here. There are no Democrats or Republicans, only Americans. And our job is to help as many people as we can, as quickly as we can, and as thoroughly as we can.
The storm is now blamed for more than 190 deaths, but there are still people unaccounted for. Former President Trump going to hold a rally in Michigan today as we get new details about Special Counsel Jack Smith's election interference case against him.
Smith argues that the former president's efforts to block the certification of the 2020 election were private acts, not official, and therefore not deserving of presidential immunity.
That is Fox's Kevin Cork reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 68 degrees right now. Looks like mostly clear skies this morning in Pensacola. This can be a sheriff's office investigating after a shooting yesterday on along Fairfield Drive in Escambia County. A man in the hospital. This happened after around 9:30 last night. The victim, again, taken to the hospital, and there's no word on his current condition. Deputies say there's also no suspect in custody. An investigation is underway in that case. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office investigating after a teenager said she was sexually assaulted in a Fort Walton Beach storage unit this week. The teen said she had left a soda outside of a local convenience store while talking to a friend and then retrieved it and began drinking it later on. She became woozy and passed out. The girl said she woke up in a storage unit being assaulted. She described the suspect as a 6'2" black male with dreadlocks and a full beard and said the man drove a white van and dropped her off afterwards on Eglin Parkway. Anybody with information is asked to contact the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office or call Emerald Coast Crime Stoppers. The city of Pensacola is looking at using small pallet houses to create bed space at local homeless shelters. Mayor D.C. Reeves says these small shed-sized buildings could be placed outside of existing shelters that already offer mental health and addiction services and have running water and restrooms available. He said that people that are ready for their own space could be placed in these structures to open up bed space inside for new arrivals.
So it's trying to kind of relieve that pressure valve of bed space. So when our community response people see someone downtown, we can that much more confidently say to them, hey, listen, I've got a place for you. You know, and it's not always the deniability of, well, you know, yeah, I would take help, but there's nowhere to go.
And this comes as the city and county are both going to be required to remove homeless people that are camping on public property starting at the beginning of the year. Reeves says he's committed to spending about $1 million in federal American Rescue Plan funding on the pallet house initiative. 41-year-old David Cuker is facing a manslaughter charge for the shooting on North Loop Road on Tuesday. Escambia County deputies say Cuker and his 44-year-old acquaintance were standing guard outside of Cuker's sister's home that night when Cuker fell asleep in a vehicle. He woke up. His acquaintance was standing outside of the car. He shot through the window and killed him. The acquaintance was unarmed when he was shot. The sheriff's office said the action was deemed to be grossly negligent. Cuker is being charged accordingly. He's being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. Senator Rick Scott blaming the Biden administration for Iran's attack on Israel. He says, 4 years ago, Iran was weak, but thanks to what he's calling appeasement efforts, he says they now have money to fund proxy groups like the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah.
We've had American hostages for now almost a year. I think we ought to be using our military to do what its purpose is. And somebody is attacking Americans. When they attack Americans, they're attacking America. And when they attack our ally, they're attacking America.
Scott says he's all in for Israel and all in to stop anti-Semitism. It is 6:34 at News Radio 92.3, 6:35 now. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Clearwater Solutions, attention certified water and wastewater professionals. Clearwater Solutions now hiring throughout Florida on-the-spot interviews. It's happening in the Pensacola Marriott Courtyard on West 9 Mile Road today from 9 to 3 and tomorrow from 9 to 12. Got no accidents to let you know about. That's going to slow down your ride in this morning. Starting to see a little bit of traffic on I-10 eastbound heading to the construction zone. But other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a small chance of rain as you go throughout the day today, 30% overall, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances increasing on Friday, 60% chance of rain, high near 83. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70. For the weekend, we will have small rain chances, 30% chance of rain on Saturday, 84 degrees for your high, low near 69. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 69 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 68 in Milton. Our next news at 7, we have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The U.S. has added a Chinese steel manufacturer and an artificial sweetener maker to a Xinjiang trade blacklist over accusations of using forced labor. The list, which now includes 75 entities, bans imports that are made in full or in part in China's Xinjiang region. Levi Strauss CEO Michelle Gass told CNBC's Jim Cramer how the denim retailer will benefit from its partnership with Beyonce, saying the ads could help boost sales of women's clothing. Gass says she sees the partnership possibly doubling business over time, pulling in just $2 billion this year alone. Diamond Sports currently plans to drop all of its Major League Baseball teams from its Bally Sports regional networks, except for the Atlanta Braves, as a result of its bankruptcy process. An attorney for Diamond Sports said it is still in negotiations with individual clubs in hopes of maintaining the rights of MLB teams for its networks. Futures are slightly lower ahead of inflation data later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Join Ballet Pensacola today on Pep Talk at 9 a.m. They're kicking off the highly anticipated season opener of Cinderella. Pensacola Ballet performs this classic story with exquisite choreography from artistic director Stefano Candreva. Cinderella is for all ages. Performances are October the 11th through the 13th and the 18th through the 20th at the Pensacola Cultural Center.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Oogie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment.
If you're planning a wedding, why not use the best entertainment for less? Their personality DJs perform over 100 weddings each year. They'll make your wedding reception one you and your guests will remember for many years to come. Call Oogie Inc. at 850-438-1660 or go to BoogieInc.com.
Oogie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment.
Remember, wherever Boogie goes, a party's bound to follow.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Phillips. I have a daughter in kindergarten, and a son in fourth grade at Cordova Park Elementary. I'm really here just to kind of talk about our situation that happened in kindergarten. My daughter started out her first year at Cordova Park with 28 students in her classroom, as did all of the other students in kindergarten. We started with four kindergarten teachers, resulting in 28 kids per class. Last year at Cordova Park, there were six kindergarten teachers. At the three week prior to school starting, there was 115 kindergartners registered already.
Wow. So Amanda Phillips, I had mentioned her name before mistakenly for a different subject, but this was at the Escambia County School Board meeting just about 2 weeks ago, talking about problems they saw at the beginning of the year with teacher allocation. And listen, on the one hand, I understand that staffing for everything these days is a challenge. Staffing for school bus drivers, in general, but especially at the school level, you know, staffing for, I'm sure, maintenance staff is the same problem, but staffing for teachers, all a challenge. But it's frustrating, you know, when you've got a kid in a school and you feel like the understaffed, or it's not well communicated, or it seems like they're adapting real close into the school year, and, you know, it seems like kind of a chaotic situation, and that is disruptive to a child's experience of education, right?
The response I got from everybody is, this is how it's always done. Wait till the 8-day mark, the magic mark. Everything will be fine. You'll get teachers. At 5 weeks, we got two extra teachers, which is great, and I'm so thankful for my child's classroom now. But my question is, how do we as a district do a better job of projecting what numbers? I'm just not sure how we had six kindergarten teachers last year at Cordova Park, and we started with four. It was absolute chaos in those classrooms.
No, it's a fair request, right? Create a process that people least understand. It's always the issue with communication in a problem, right, is always kind of the same one that everybody faces, which is you want to avoid the problems, but if you are having a problem, communication is the key, because you don't necessarily have to solve a thing, but as long as you talk to people and assuage their fears and tell them what you're doing, and, you know, as long as they feel like you're aware and informed and trying, that goes a long way when people are confused or, you know, concerned. And so I'm not sure that the school district is doing a great job of communicating that to the parents who have these concerns. The other part of this is, if you can create an environment of communication ahead of time, then people know they can trust you more. And one of the problems we're having at all layers of government right now is a general distrust of what's going on. And so you add into distrust that, you know, your street is flooding, or your school is overcrowded, or there has been a lot of teenage hooliganism in your neighborhood. You know, like, whatever the problem is, you don't have the context of communication and trust existing. And then you have a problem, and now you're upset and you feel like nobody's listening. It's sort of all of these things cascade. So it's, you know, communications is a proactive thing. You've got to actively be cultivating. And I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. You know, Skanska made a massive blunder, not with the bridge. Yes, that. But years prior to that, I had approached them and said, hey, I'd love to have you guys come on the show once a month or once every other week and have one of your engineers just tell people what they're seeing as they're driving over the bridge, over the old bridge, watching the new bridge get built. That'd be good for them. It'd be interesting radio. And then you'd cultivate a relationship with the community that they, if everything goes wrong, I actually told them this, if ever anything goes wrong, they know you. And they said, no, that's we're not going to do that. I'm like, really? This is good. And like, no, we don't do that. Well, you know, something went horribly wrong, and all anybody knew about Skanska was that. And then they didn't even communicate well in that crisis. So anyway, just kind of lesson learned, not just about schools, but lesson about all kinds of organizations that interact with the public and do public communications.
Self, other parents, grandparents, every single day we were at lunch, we were in the classrooms. It was just so eye-opening to see. And this one kind of hits hard for hits home to me when my daughter had to practice her active shooter training, and they were to go behind the walls. And there were so many kids in the classroom that they all didn't fit behind the walls. So I thought of my daughter. If the shooter came in, if she didn't get to the wall quick enough, she wouldn't make it.
What can you say?
So my other question is, why do we not have something in place? If this does happen, all these kids do register, we don't know about it. Why do we not send aides? Why are parents and grandparents up there for 5 weeks? Why do we not immediately send another teacher when we have that many? That's really my question statements to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips.
See, this is another example where it's an opportunity for the school board at that point to communicate or to have, you know, the superintendent say something. And instead, it's just thank you. And I know every different entity has their rules about whether they respond to what the public says, like in the open forum segment. I generally think it's a mistake to not say anything. Now, I get it that people can be upset and you can get into this back and forth and it can become a debate, which you want to avoid. But whenever possible, offer information, context, something. Because if you don't say anything, then you make it seem like you don't care. Or that you're hiding something, or, you know, silence lends itself to all the wrong interpretations. There was another set of comments in that same meeting by a different person about school safety I want to get to in a second, because I thought this was also, it's on the same subject, even though it's a completely different topic. You'll see what I mean in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers you auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. You can visit progressive.com today. That's progressive.com. Not seeing any accidents right now to let you know about. Everything's flowing smoothly. A minor delay, I-10 eastbound as you head toward Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. Also seeing just a minor delay if you're coming on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola. You'll just see delays right there at the light where scenic splits off. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. The other set of comments came from a parent named Toby Martin, who's got a child at MacArthur, apparently. And now this is past. Okay, this is not recent. So if you hear MacArthur and, you know, a threat against the school, that's nothing that's going on right now. I just want to make sure you know that. But his complaint was the school district doesn't communicate with parents enough when there are situations like this going on. And again, it's a matter of, you know, more information is better. Talk. And then, you know, give context instead of having to find out later that something happened. I mean, that's a very frustrating thing as a parent.
Some concerns with the recent things that's going on in our nation. It's not just here. I obviously know that. There's a pandemic going on in the United States with school threats. My problem is, my concern is the school district handling this correctly? Are they identifying the threats, and are they notifying the parents in a timely manner? Friday is a good example of that. The social media post was posted out hours before school started. And the school district was notified hours before the kids went to school. So my question is why did the school district let kids go to school under a threat?
Without informing the parents of the nature of the issue, right?
Secondly, how was the information from that threat released to the media and everybody else? But yet on Monday, we had a threat at MacArthur Elementary School, and I have inquired many times of the nature of the threat. We're not asking for a minor's name, a minor's information, but for us to be told that we can't know what happened at a school that our kids go to is unacceptable from the school district. So the school district needs to work on communicating these threats as this thing continues to go on.
So, and by the way, again, I just want you to know, this is 2 weeks ago was this meeting, and so whatever he's talking about is 3 weeks ago. It's not something that was this week. I know people hear MacArthur on Monday, okay? But he's right. It's bad enough you get a text from the school district that says, hey, this is what's going on. It's worse that you find out a couple of days later it's worse that you found out a couple of days later through the rumor mill and other parents and not through official channels. And it's even worse when you ask for clarifying information and it's not provided. Talk. Talk in crisis, right? That is the point. You got to communication through these problems.
Need as a community and as a school district to find out what the root cause of these threats are. I've seen in the news a sixth grader from Pensacola is going to be charged with a second degree felony for a threat. I understand that the severity of it, but are we looking at what's causing these threats? Why are these kids, sixth graders, elementary school kids, causing threats? Where are they getting this message from? And what is the school district doing to get to the bottom of it? Not just sit there and investigate and arrest our children.
Yeah, I mean, community meetings, town halls, at least sending out information, at least sending out, you know, some kind of text, emails, explanation. And some may, okay? But I just have these parents in front of me complaining about what wasn't done. And that's the problem. I mean, listen, if you've got a kid in a school, you should never find out from me, Andrew McKay, on news radio that there's a threat against that school. You should find out there's a threat against that school from the school long before anybody in the media ever know. I mean, they can notify us at the same time, but it shouldn't come from me. Not that we want to be last to know, but we should be last to know. Like, all the parents should know before we ever do, right?
There's obviously, there's an issue in our community and in our nation right now, and the school district needs to be more responsible to the parents that you guys have of their children and notifying us and giving us the ability to make a choice of whether our child goes to school or our child stays home.
And also, you know, I know there's this, look, I'm being fairly critical of schools, okay? You know, and I only have the ones in front of me to talk about, so I can't talk about the ones that do it well, okay? I get it. And I get that doing this is very hard. Making these choices is very hard. Trying to figure out how do we inform parents while also not freak them out? How do we, you know, make sure that they have the information they need to make good decisions about whether to send their kids to school or not. And most of these threats turn out to be nothing. The vast majority turn out to be nothing. I've said that many times. That's an important thing to keep in mind. But it's who's entitled to the information? And parents rightly feel like they're entitled to the information. And if you don't have it, I mean, just kind of, you know, sort of try to imagine the babysitter heard that somebody's planning to come over and hurt the kids but didn't tell the parents. You know, like, that is unacceptable. Even if they think it's a joke, the parents would want to know. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about here.
Because before we know it, everybody's going to get complacent and say it's just another threat. And then what's going to happen is what happened in Georgia. Four people died. The mother called the school, warned the school before the incident that her child was going to do harm. They let those kids go to school knowing that there was harm going to be done, and it happened. Please don't let that happen here in our county, our state, and in our city. I have to say.
Yeah, keeping it quiet is never the option. And again, passing up the opportunity to really address that topic with the parent in the forum. Because if the school board had responded, I would play the school board response, you know, or... Anyway, so text coming in 437-1620. Thank goodness someone is speaking up. This is about the Cordova Park and the staffing issues. Not just at Cordova Park, it is an issue. Is the state needing numbers or the district? This has been an issue. We wait. Kids are crowded in. Class size reduction, 18 average class across the board for K-3. Somebody says, communicate early. Bad news doesn't get better with time or silence. Regarding the parent about the sixth graders being charged, education starts in the home. Somebody just says, Andrew, you're a good reporter. Can you help shed the light on this? I'm not sure what this is. Okay. Somebody else says, sometimes you're too kind, Andrew. You think the folks on the school board really care about parents? Well, I always want to give the benefit of the doubt. A, it's just good human relations. B, it's a biblical mandate. You know, be as charitable as you can until you absolutely can't be anymore. I know we should all have compassion and caring about the school board, but only worried about maintaining their A or B or C rating or whatever they might be required to do. They truly do not have the compassion to be in the job. I love what you do. I just feel the school district does not care about the one of us. There are so many good employees, so many good administrators, and I'll give the benefit of the doubt to the school board members as well. It's a hard job, okay? And the reason I say all that is just because that doesn't defend the decision. I just want to make sure you hear that side of it, that sure, these choices are hard, but that still doesn't excuse you making the bad choice. Okay? And it's important to make the good choice. The good choice is tell people the hard information. Be forthright with it. Be forthcoming with it. John, I know you're a parent with a kid in school. And
right.
Am I saying anything you disagree with?
No, I wholeheartedly agree.
More information
is the best.
That because then when if you're accustomed to getting information, you have a context within which to process the next bit of information. If you're accustomed to getting silence, and then all of a sudden you hear something through the rumor mill and you see a post on social media, you freak out because you don't know any better. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
You're so right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110. Seeing just a minor delay right there on I-10 eastbound before you get to Highway 29 intersection. And also, if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile, seeing delays both in the east-west and northbound or southbound lanes. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust new Febreze car vent clips, now with 3 times greater scent control, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with new Febreze car, I know my car's going to smell amazing, which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up! Oscar! Yeah, la, 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 la.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Says, I think the key here is that parents want the communication, but the board or the principal of the school or whomever is afraid of saying the wrong thing and not knowing how the parents will react and then what to do. But again, it's a relationship. And, you know, the problem with lack of communication is it never makes a relationship better, and it only sets you up for messing up. You know, if you have good relationship, you know, if you talk a lot, then people can put in context everything that gets said, and they trust you, and they'll give you some, you know, some charity because they know you're trying. You know, and when they feel like you're hiding and not trying, then everything you do is going to get micro-scrutinized. And so it's a problem that solves itself through talking. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump will be hosting an October 7th remembrance event at Trump National Doral, Miami. He says he'll be bringing together Jewish community leaders that night to honor the lives of the 1,200 people killed by Hamas. Betting on the 2024 election will be allowed.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know you were getting ready to place your bets, probably.
Yeah, I'm such a gambler.
A federal appeals court made that ruling, going against the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. That agency had argued that it could undermine election integrity. And Alec Baldwin's Rust will have its world premiere next month. It's set to be shown at the International Film Festival in Poland.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. A couple of just quick notes here. A Taste of Gulf Breeze, that is tomorrow night. The VIP from 5 to 6, the regular from 6 to 9, and it is a good event. It's 21 up event. Always a... It sounds low class, but it's a good feat. I mean, it's a really good feat. We also have the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's opening night. We'll be giving away tickets to that a little bit later, so be listening.